Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Is the joy of the whole world. about Mount Zion. Great is the Lord, verse 1 says, and greatly to be praised. Believe me, Samuel, okay? In that city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, then he says, beautiful for situation is Mount Zion. When I was preparing, was he not this morning? You know, a song came to my heart that I cannot even sing again. I was singing, for Zion is beautiful. Her God is beautiful. Her maidens are beautiful. I am beautiful. What makes Zion to be beautiful is the God that dwells in Zion. Hallelujah. And if I am part of Zion, I am the daughter of Zion, then me, what happens to me? I am beautiful. Hallelujah. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 17. He says, how great is his goodness, and are we there? How great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty? God shall make the young man cheerful, and new wine be made. I want you to see how great is the beauty. The goodness of the Lord is great. His beauty is great. And then he says, God shall the young man, by the young men. God shall make the young men cheerful. What? What? Solidity. Hallelujah. Where God is, where his beauty is, the men, they will carry the word, the corn. Hallelujah. And then what will be made? What will make? What are the new wine? The maids, the presence of the Holy Spirit makes you cheerful. That family has been telling us since hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Isaiah 28 verse 5 says, the Lord of hosts is a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty. Your God is beautiful and you are beautiful. Looking through the Bible, many years ago, I had a booklet written, The Purpose of Womanhood. But research operations brought it out. The reason you were made, the reason you were created, is for God himself to carry his image. I go back again to that Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 37, where he says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Hallelujah. He said it in Genesis. Hallelujah. And he also repeats it even in the New Testament. The reason he created us, the purpose for which we are created, is not just for wifehood, for motherhood, and then we put our creator name to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. We have made a lot of mistakes, including me. I remember in those days when I was not finishing the service, they came to interview me and they called me Sister Zonkwa. What are your plans? Oh, you can imagine. It's incidentally, Zonkwa is in the area that has been ravaged recently, the southern area of southern Kaduna State. Are we listening to me? You can imagine my answer. It was just the level of knowledge I had. What? Can you see how the religion then, even Christianity, defined us? Sister Zonkwa. What are you going to do after you service? Oh, I'm going down south. I'm going to get married. I was in love. And my heart was do you understand me? My some hearts are beating now. Hey, that brother. Hey, that sister. I was in that condition. I was just 25. Hallelujah. I was 1 year pregnant. You can imagine that. And I was waiting for that marriage. A very handsome brother to come and peel and put the ring on my finger. I said, oh, I'm going down south. I'm going to get married and I'll have children. Can you imagine? And I've forgotten the mandate God gave me. When I was answering that question, God has said, go down south. I will use you as a husband. I didn't say that though. I'm telling you this. I will tell you that. I will get married and have children. The purpose of God for you is beyond
have gotten married and having children, and then somewhere open up in the corner, you can now serve him when it is convenient. No. You were created an image bearer. Say, I am his image bearer. Believing you were created, the purpose of creating the male and the female, the man and the woman. When I said in the morning, man and woman, God didn't create one to be more superior than the other. I'm not talking of the marriage estate. Please, I'm saying it again tonight. And I'm soon going to Mobile as well, you almost stole me anyway. So let's wait and see. You wonder, isn't she a woman? Eh? So then, if you feel that, oh, this is, she's chauvinistic, please don't allow me. Wait till any soon. Don't stop throwing the stones yet. Last thing out from my head, I won't be able to hear the other things that are in me. Hallelujah. So when he created us, we are supposed to create us to be his own image. And when we get to the New Testament, the nature is in Christ had to die and resurrected in so that we could carry that same image, the image that we have and the image of the Father. Hallelujah. Spiritually, physically, we have been made in their image, and spiritually, we become their image. 1 Corinthians 15:45. Very quickly. 1 Corinthians 15:45. 49 rather says we must bear the abundant image and answer. And as we have born the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We are meant to be image bearer. Hallelujah. And then in Romans, let me talk a little bit about this. We are to bear the image of the heavenly. And what is the image of this heavenly that we are to bear? If we go to Romans 8:28-30. Hallelujah. In Romans 8:28-30, our calling, his purpose for us, is so that we could be conformed to his image. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Next verse, please. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. That purpose that he talked about in the earlier verse is the conformation to the image of the Son. We are image bearers. We are to bear the image of the Son. So the purpose is so that me, a woman, you, a man, when they see you, they see the image of Christ in you. Hallelujah. You, a woman, you are to bear the image of Christ. All the functions, we focus on the functions, we live the real thing. Hallelujah. Our calling, our purpose is so that we become firm. We are supposed to show this image. And when it is shown to us, we show it to the whole world. 2 Corinthians 3:3-4. I wish I can run faster than I'm doing. Are we getting anything at all? Okay, in 2 Corinthians 3:3, it says, for I thought before that is the talk of we are epistles. Here are epistles written in our hearts, not our right of all men. For as much as sin manifested, declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the spirit of the living God, not with tables of stone, but with fleshly tables of the heart. The spirit writes in our hearts. And what is he writing in our hearts? Is the image that is being written. And that is what the world is looking for. The world have enough of their paintings and their decorations and everything and the external beauties. But they are even tired of that. They are looking for those who will mirror something different. in your simplicity, they want to see something different. Hallelujah. They want to see something that is different. The whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That is what you are supposed to bring forth, woman. That is your beauty. I should go into some things. So the Spirit rises in our hearts. And that in verse 13, it says, but we call with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. So from one glory to the other, as we keep dwelling in His presence, His glory comes upon us. Most times when we read this passage, we just read it as if we are moving from one level of glory to the other. But as we are moving from one level of glory to the other, there is a change. The focus is the image. The focus is becoming like Christ. And Christ mirrors the Father. Chapter 4 talks of Christ. Christ, the image of God. He shines in us. Even things are never formed except with light. There is no photography except with light. Christ is the light. He's the one helping the image. As we submit ourselves to the Spirit of the Almighty God, we receive the light, and the light begins to form the image. And the sense of that Second Corinthians chapter 4 says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness and shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So that shines in us, the light forms us. It gives us knowledge, and the knowledge begins to change us, configures us, and makes us to come out the way we should be. I was saying in the morning, what concerns tire of a car with a lady that is half nude? I was telling us in the morning, or was it in the afternoon? Which one concerns it? But they don't have any bearing. They have no bearing. Are we listening to what I'm saying? There's no bearing at all, at all, at all. But there's something in that woman that is being mirrored. That lady that stands. There's something in her that is being shown to the whole world. And with you, you are to be shown to the whole world. You are to be shown to the whole world. We are to move from carnality to move into glory and to become His image. And thank God for what mommy did. He has really done a lot of work along that line when she was ministering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's go. I want us to see. There's a verse of scripture that knocks out. I know that if this topic were to be taken in some quarters, they were brought those who make nails, bring those who will help you to do your makeup, how they will do your nails, and conform you to the image of the world. Don't allow the world to put you in a mold. I have heard this before, and I'm saying it to you. It's not my words. The world prepared a mold for you. Blocks are made from mold. These pillars are made from the mold. They simply pour out the liquid matter into the mold. And then when it solidified, it brought out these pillars. The world has a mold. And unfortunately for the women, it's the man that designed that clothes more. The clothes of Aaron, they were for beauty and for what? For covering, for beauty and holiness. How good it will be when you are dressing, what you are thinking of, it is for beauty and for holiness. refuse to be conformed to a mold. External beauty is not what we are talking about. We are married so much. The Bible talks so much about beauty, but not too much in the New Testament. But if you look carefully, the beauty that our focus is brought into is the image of Christ, to be of Christ and God. Are we saying, don't look beautiful, don't wear some things? That is not what I am about. What I'm saying is that when I step out, what should be seen should be the image of Christ. No matter how cheaply dressed, according to the world, I might be, I cannot be current in the sign of clothes I wear. But when you see me, you see God's glory, you see His beauty. Proverbs chapter 31 knocks out everything about external beauty. You give me Proverbs 31:30. Proverbs is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be blessed. That verse has been knocked out. Can you imagine how much has been said about this woman? What is written in Proverbs 31 was what a woman called her son. I'm not going into too much of what is there. In Noah's mother, that was the parable or the proverb his mother told him or gave to him. And we don't know that Solomon wrote out Proverbs. But it was called King Lemuel. Like I said in one place, that must be the mother's pet name for her, or for his brother. The Proverbs that he taught him. A woman wrote Proverbs 31. After all the skills of this woman, after all what she did, and had been commended, and in verse 30 says, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. External beauty is vain. There is a focus to us to what is inside us. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be blessed. The fear of the Lord has a place above beauty, external beauty. The fear of the Lord is beautiful. Hallelujah. It's the woman that fears the Lord that is beautiful. If you fear the Lord, you will not express your midriff to a man. Your midriff is for your husband. If you fear the Lord, you will not wear what will expose your tie. You will not dress in a manner. You will not define yourself in the mode that the world has given to you. You are too precious. You have been bought with a price. And the price is Jesus Christ Himself. You are very precious to God. Arise, O daughter of Zion. Arise, O daughter of Zion. Arise and take your place tonight. Arise and leave the mundane things. Arise and leave the things that don't seem really to define you. Like they are supposed to be defined by God. Beauty is there. Favor is deceitful. If I am beautiful, what does it mean my beauty is vain? I might be beautiful that way, but if I shout at you and I laugh all day, you will know that I'm not beautiful. Listen, I started asking God, I said, God, I thought I had left this thing. When my children were younger, I was a shouter. There's any in this subject. Don't blame me, I told you in the morning, they were all boys. Boys. So before you throw your stone, lost two boys together. And then only these two. And whoever as that one did it, should. I thought I had met shouting, but if God brought you dead into my house, and I sat there shouting with him, I said, God, I thought I had passed. So I'm seeing a video. I can see shouting like this. Where is the power to have overcome? God will bring situations that will help you to know you have not yet arrived. Hallelujah. That is why the reason I gave you that. So, God is deceived. What did 1 Peter and Psalm 90 say? All flesh is as grass. No matter how beautiful you are, let me give you an example. They brought the invitation card of one woman's burial to my house. And the front page, they put the woman just before she died. And as I opened, before I read out the program of events, they now put this lady, this woman, this mama, where is she not dead? She was putting on all this wickedness or topless, whichever you call it, or you name more, where she wedded. Don't think it was one of her granddaughters. So beautiful, the way she turned like this, with the veil on her head, falling on her shoulders. I saw them and said, you mean this beautiful lady is what this haggard looking woman? I said, God, you are wonderful. Otherwise, Eduardo, I was doing the way I am doing now. I'm watching it. You mean this beautiful damsel is the same as this old woman? Oh, otherwise, I was shouting around the house like a mad woman. Beauty is slain. It's going to pass from. So far from what I said in. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 to 25, Psalm 90, it says, beauty above flesh is as grass. Both living and living things, plants and animals, they will all pass away. They will all pass away. But the fear of the Lord is the one that endures forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Proverbs 11:22 says, a fair or beautiful woman without discretion. Please bring that one out for me. I want to bring out some qualities. Some qualities in a beautiful woman. Let's see who a beautiful woman is. As the dwell of God in the shrine's mouth, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. We need discretion. If you don't have discretion, no matter how beautiful you painted your faces, he says, it's like putting a gold, how not a swine, a pig, you put your wedding ring into each mouth. Hallelujah. And another passage that knocks down so many of what you call beauty is Psalm 45, verse 13. Let's start from verse 4. Please give me verse 4. And in thy majesty, ride on prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Next verse. Thy arrows, let me get to my Bible. I don't want us to waste time. And in verse 2, thou art followed by the children of men. Bless his power into thy lips. Therefore, they have blessed thee forever. On, if you read on, you will see this promise talks of righteousness, it talks of truth, it talks of meekness. Hallelujah. And then when it got to verse 13, think that I shall be on your swear. Everybody needs their setting for me. That nothing that hath not gold. The king's terror is all glorious within, not without. Our beauty is not without. The fear of the Lord is not seen outwardly. It is seen inwardly. The king's terror is beautiful within her. If you look at verses 10 and 11, take not that her and consider and enjoy thy fear. For that house of thy own people and thy father's house, such shall the king make me desire thy beauty, for is thy love and worship bound him. There are many things we need to forget. We need to forget so many things. Things to pride us. This is who I am. One woman was saying one day, one eternity, she said, you people are lucky. You people are blessed. It did not come from a very proud family. She said, in my family, we are very proud. And we are taught to be proud, or to be proud. Now, she found it difficult, a believer, to step down and not to be proud, and not to look down every other person. Such a person we need to do what? Forget his own people and his father's house. Such are the things that we desire thy beauty. What is beauty that is within you is from the king. Like mother was teaching us about the king the other time. King Ahasuerus was a type of God himself. You want God to desire you? God gives you the beauty. You radiate his beauty. You give back the glory to him. So forget thy house, thy father's house, so that the king can desire your beauty. For he is thy Lord. Then, let's see the last thing. What is the last thing there? And worship what thou mean. Worship what thou mean. Hallelujah. Worship him. Matthew 23, 25 to 28 talks of the grave. This time I think of it. I've known this scripture for a long time. Each time I see a grave. It is funny. Beautiful grave. Open it. Are you happy with that place? Matthew 23, 25 to 28. What is inside a grave? It's full of bones. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortions and excess. Read on, please. Next verse. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, the outside of them may be clean also. What do we need to do? Clean the inside. Get your inside open. And then what is inside? What happens to it? It can't be hidden. It radiates. Has someone ever asked one of us here, what is it about you? What is it about you? You know that when it comes to physical qualities, you may not have too much according to the standard of the world. But what is it about you? They will say, you are so beautiful. You are so peaceful. You are so this. You are so that. You are a symbol. A symbol of life. A symbol of death. You are a perfume. A perfume. A perfume. The perfume that must be broken. That woman broke the alabaster bottle of ointment. And the whole room was filled, hallelujah, with the odor. The beauty is from within. Matthew 12, 33-34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. Oh, I'm so beautiful. Hallelujah. Speak one word. Everywhere is scattered. What what you say is really you. And when Jesus was ministering in Matthew 15, he said, that which defiles me is from within me. They were praying about the disciples eating without washing their hands. And he said, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man. It is what is within the mouth that defiles a man. That which is in your heart that you are not taking away, and you are supposed to remove, that is what defiles you. And that is what is causing trouble between you and your husband. I don't know, we are not even catch it. Deal with that which is inside you. What defiles you, what makes your beauty to be nothing, is that which is inside you. And he wants us to remove it. Now let's go quickly to 1 Peter 3, and that is where I'm going to stop tonight. Hallelujah. I don't think this meeting will be complete if you are married from 1 Peter 3. One woman saw a book and said, what I really hate in marriage is this issue of who will help me to complete my sibling. Are you happy? What I hate in this marriage issue is the issue of nobody. Everything I have said right now is the issue of submission. Hallelujah. And it does. Any verse of scripture or passages that are so guilty of hammering on the women is Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Peter chapter 3. Oh, how we wish we can delete it from the Bible. Undeletable. Hallelujah. So 1 Peter chapter 3, you have seen that there. 1 Peter chapter 3, you have little time left, I think. But I want to do justice to this chapter. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also bear without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be. That's what I want of getting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God and done themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah, these all women, read verse 6, and the men will read 7. 1, 2, go. Not all men read it. Some single men did not read it. I caught you, I didn't see you, I can't pinpoint you. But within me, I just know that some of you didn't read it. Men read it again. This time I am looking at you and watching you. You that is moving around, I hope you are reading. Even if you are 16, you are going there. Do you know the problem we make when I get there? Why not know it now before you get it? There are some things that helped me. I didn't struggle too much. Because I heard, but I've seen ahead. Some things, not all things. Yes, but I tell you, I see all things if you like. At least I have seen some things. This is a passage all of us, men, women, married, single, both male and female, should go back to them. Go back to them. Go back to them. So you can see that in this passage, There's only one verse for the man. I said it in the morning, and I hope I will still have time to say some things. If you feel the women are to submit, you pity them, I pity you. There is more hunger on the men than the women. Yourself, you are hanging on your own, what you know, you are hanging on your own neck. All your children, they are your neck, spirit, soul, and body. And one woman that you just say yes to you, you feel that she's the one that is infabled in the relationship. You have made a mistake. You have to help all of them to walk in the way of the Lord. Go and read Genesis chapter 18 about Abraham. Then you know what you are into. He will command his household to do the way of the Lord. Everyone in your household, they are on your neck to do the way of the Lord. And either you like it or not, you're one of your own destiny. And you think the woman that you just say, yes, sir, in your way. We shall see some things tomorrow. God help us. Hallelujah. So in this place, if let me just do a little bit, then I will close. Because of adorning. If there is any creature that loves adornment, if the female, the women, also, without being so much. But look at how this passage honored us. Some women would not mind using the housekeeping allowance to buy us a buying new shoe and new bag to match. To look good. And when the man complains, they have all sorts of lies and excuses and rubbish to them. There is also a focus here. The focus is on the hidden man of the heart. Just like Proverbs pointed us and told us, if the woman that fears the Lord, that will be praised. Why did you raise up my daughter? You thought I saw that I didn't see you. This is an old woman that needs a pair of glasses. How many minutes ago did you raise up? Who's that? I told you I want to be obedient on the pulpit. Okay. So he starts by saying, likewise, me wise. Have you ever seen somebody starting? If I come to you and I say, my sister, brother, likewise. Could you not say, I hope nothing is wrong with you tonight, mama? Likewise, what? Or could you attend it? There has been something. And likewise, the wise man is talking about this in chapter 2. Go to chapter 2, verse 13. Having your conversation partners among the Gentiles. Okay, 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king and supreme. And then he goes on. Come. He was just talking to everybody here. Submit. Honor all men. Are you following me? 17 says, honor all men. 18 says, servants be subject. And he talked of Christ's submission and his suffering and on and on. And when he got to verse 3, so you know that he started about in verse 13 talking about to submit. So he said, likewise, you wives, be in subjection. I've talked to every other person, but you, the wife, you need to be talked to specially. And that was where he started. Being subjected to your husband. He didn't say to every man, if you are not my boss in the office, I respect and honor you. There were some honest teachings in those days. You see one company man asking one at the rabbi, I'm a man. So the pastor had the age of my mother to submit to me. Because I'm the man. What's the relationship? that because this person is a woman, she should submit to you. Remember that some young men that are believers, that's how they get into trouble with a female boss in the office. They are bossy. They are boss over their wives. And they do not know the limit of their bossiness. That there is only their wife that should be subject to them. And then they will get to my sister's office and they will want her to be the one to submit to them. My house is the other and you are the subordinate. When he says submission, thank God he says to their own husband. They should submit to your own husband. Any other man you are submitting to is must be because of relationship. You don't just submit to any man because submission is very, very serious. I would like to put up our shoulders and say, I'm not submitting to any man. Then why my shoulder is accountable? There is respect. I hope you follow what I'm saying. But submission to your pastor. I don't want to make this too long. I don't want to extend it too long. I'm saying this so that someone will not get me wrong and quote what I did not say. But this one is talking of submission. Wives, be subject to your own husband. What does it mean to submit? But my husband will say in those days, he should be allowing his head to be over. The husband is the head of the home. There's no controversy. Say with me, husband is the head, no controversy. There is order. Go to the police force behind me. There is order. Bow my soldier. There is order. I heard that two policemen on checkpoint. The two of them were caught. I don't know their terminology. They entered the force the same day, the same set. They will use alphabetical order. Somebody must be led. Order by order. That is right, my daughter. This is one area, one reason you run the way. I don't want to be called a woman. In a moment of my father. So the idea is you accept what the Lord has laid down. The better for you. Be in subjection to your husband. You are not yet married, my daughter. If you have it in mind and to submit to the man that will marry me, then don't submit to the man that you keep as a doll. Don't say yes to a brother that you cannot respect and submit to. Because God will hold you responsible. We are not talking of age. We are not talking of age. I'm not talking of age. Because you that are facing me, when we talk of getting married, you are thinking of marrying somebody who is 5 years older than you, 10 years older than you. What if there is one that will be 10 years older than me? You better keep quiet and let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Hallelujah! I'm serious, I'm not joking. So I wanted to come. Did you know that she said it? Allow the person to be heard. And the head detects the shots. Unfortunately, some men do not occupy their position as head. They cannot be followed. You shall not be a headless head. You shall be a proper head. I'm fearfully made. I'm wonderfully made. I belong to God. I belong to God.
believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.